Hello, Cinnabar Moths, or any other kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle, Cinnabar Moths podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we are here with Cynthia, author of Drone Fangil. Cynthia, how are you doing today?
Wonderful.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm having a good time as well. And I'm excited to be interviewing today.
Thank you.
So, how are you feeling? Are you feeling excited about the release of Drone Fangil coming out in August 10th?
Absolutely, yes. I'm very much looking forward to it.
And I know that it's all books when you go into writing them and to get them to publishing. It's quite a bit of a process. How long did it take for you to write Drone Fangil?
The initial first draft took me about 3 months. And then I have rewritten, well, obviously with editing and rewriting, probably 3 times. So that took place over the course of about a year. So overall, probably about a year and a half.
Okay. And so that's a pretty decent amount of time. What was that process like for you with the writing and the editing and such?
The initial writing was interesting because I had never tried to write fiction before. So, I found it actually easier than I thought I would. I think I have discovered that I'm kind of an organic writer in that I tell the story to myself. And I write from beginning to ending, which is different than a lot of writers write. So I just basically wrote the story in 3 months and then let it sit for a while and then edited it. And then did it kind of a small rewrite on it and then edited it again. I actually had somebody else edit it after that, a professional editor, just to have somebody go through it and see what things I wasn't seeing in it, see what improvements it might need, grammatical things, flow. And then one of the rewrites I did, I actually ended up rewriting and then changing it back because I had had, when I was doing querying, I had one person that actually questioned the main character the way I had written him. So I changed it for what that person had expected. And then after I rewrote it, I just didn't feel right about it. And I knew I had to make the main character the way I had originally seen him. And I wrote it back.
Okay, so that sounds like quite a bit of a complicated process there.
Yeah, it was quite the process.
Would you say that you found that process to be enjoyable? Was it painful? What was the feeling going through the querying and the rewriting and all of that?
The writing part is wonderful. I really enjoy writing. Like I said, it's an organic process for me. It seems to flow out of me. I love writing. The querying process is not so much fun. I love writing. The editing is actually, to me, kind of interesting because it's basically like reading back your own book and just like touching it up here and there and actually improving it. But querying, I have not talked to anybody that says they think querying is fun. it is very difficult because you're basically putting yourself out there over and over again, and the majority of the time you get rejected. So it's hard to like put your work out there, your dream, and just be told over and over again no, and makes you feel like you're not good enough. And that's tough.
Yeah, I can imagine that can be difficult, feeling like, is this what's wrong with this? I love it.
Right. Yeah, why am I not meeting your expectations? I love it. Like, what's wrong with it? Yeah.
Yeah. And so you end up going through the querying process and querying the book, and eventually you queried with us, obviously, because we are publishing you. But how did you discover Cinnabar Moth Publishing?
I actually, on Twitter. Like, I had been, I've been on Twitter for a long time, and I had seen, actually, Cinnabar Moth just tweeting, sharing some tweets from some other friends that I have. And then they actually retweeted some of my stuff, and I started following I started following Cinnabar Moth, and they Cinnabar Moth retweeted my blog. And so I just started communicating back and forth and saw that they were open for submissions. So you were open submissions. And then was like, you know, maybe I will give this a shot, you know, because I had queried it so many times and just been rejected so many times. And I had gotten to the point where I was thinking about self-publishing, but I was like, I'm going to give this one more shot. Mm-hmm. And just submitted it. Because especially since Cinnabar Moth was like, submit full manuscripts. And that was kind of, that's so much different than so many other publishers are like, well, just send us a query letter and like 5 pages.
Yeah.
Which is difficult because it doesn't, don't feel like that gives them a full look at what you're really telling. And Cinnabar Moth was like, we'll take your full manuscript and read it. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like a better chance to be like, here's my whole story.
Well, we're really glad that you decided to query with us.
Yeah.
And yeah. We know that you just talked about querying with us, but then what made you decide to finally go through with the decision to publish with us?
I think everything has been so open and communicative and friendly and personable compared to like every other experience I've had with any other agents or publishers. Every other experience I've had has been very impersonal, and everyone at Cinnabar Moth that I've dealt with, you and Christopher and Chad, everybody that I've talked to there has been just relatable and personable and like human and treated me like a person and a human, which has been just a different experience and makes you feel wonderful, you know, like a person, you know, like you're not just dealing with my book, like you're dealing with me.
Hmm. We're glad that we make you feel that way and feel connected to us. Yeah. That's one of our goals, is having our authors feel like they're being seen in this process. With the choosing to publish with us, what has been the most surprising thing about choosing to publish with Cinnabar Moth?
There's so many things, but I think just the, it's hard to pick like one thing, but there's so much, I mean, like feeling welcomed and seeing like the combination of the personable side and the professional side, there's also so much professionalism, in that, like, basically, I feel like you took my little book and just turned it into this big production. Like, there's been so much marketing, and on that side of it has been such a big deal. Like, from the beginning, it's been kind of a process from the beginning, and it's been months going on, and it's not even out yet, and there's a lot of hype about it, which has been, I think, really impressive. I don't think I would have even gotten that kind of treatment from any kind of a big publisher. So that's been really impressive to me. Mm-hmm.
And this process, we've been in communication with you about, you know, publishing the book and everything. And so separate from publishing with us specifically, what would you say has been one of the more surprising things, or even the most surprising thing about publishing your book and going through that official publication process?
Just at all in general?
Yeah.
I think there's so much more involved in it than I really ever thought. I've done some self-publishing before, but like when it comes to traditionally publishing, I personally just had this misconception of just like, well, somebody agrees to publish your book and they just like publish it, you know, and it's out there on the market. You don't realize there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, you know? So that's been, there's so much I've learned since this all started. Like, it's a process. There's so much involved in it. Like, that's been a whole learning experience for me.
And through this learning experience, we're actually rapidly approaching, gosh, it feels like the time's been flying, but pretty soon the book will actually be, Drumfangil will actually be released. And how do you plan on celebrating the release of Drumfangil once it comes out?
I mean, it's kind of funny because I've been trying to figure out how it's going to all work. Like, because it's interesting because the book comes out on my son's birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my oldest son's birthday is August 10th, and that's the date of release. So that's going to be kind of interesting. So we'll probably do like a little dual celebration. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm really limited on what I can do. So we'll probably just do something at home. And also, like, physically, I'm trying to get, like, I'm supposed to have surgery at some point, but it sounds like that's probably going to be an August thing. So, I mean, I'll still be at home, but we'll do something fun. Just because, you know, I'm sure we'll be doing some, like, online stuff with family, because we have family that's, you know, out of state and stuff too. But
yeah,
I have a lot of out of state family that's pretty excited about it.
Okay. So that actually flows into my next question rather nicely. You bring up your family being excited. That was the next question. You have extended family as well as your close family. Is everybody really excited about the release of Drumfenjo?
Pretty much. I mean, of course, my immediate family, like my husband, my kids, have all been like really just super supportive and excited the whole time. I have three sisters and they're all really supportive and excited. They keep in touch with me all the time, asking how things are going. My mother-in-law, I just talked to her the other day, and she's like, "You have to make sure I get a copy right away as soon as it comes out." She's very excited about it and stuff. And I have all my aunts and uncles. And yeah, so I have lots of family that are all very excited. And I have multiple friends that have been letting me know. They want me to let them know for sure as soon as it comes out so they can go out and buy a copy. So it's been a lot of support, which has been really nice.
I think it's awesome that you have this close knit of people that are supporting and supportive and very excited about your process. And
yeah,
all of this. That's always lovely to see and hear about.
Yes, that's been really a fun part of the whole process.
With the book's release, there's also another aspect to it, which is being released into not just for sale, but also into libraries. And your book, Drumfenjo, will be listed in the U.S. Library of Congress. How does that feel?
That was pretty amazing when I found that out. That seemed like such a big deal to me. Like, I don't know. It was one of those things that was like so taken aback. I don't know. Like, one of the things I said even when I first found out that it was going to be published at all was like, I don't know, you're kind of immortalized when you have a book published, you know? And then I was like, well, if it's going to be in the Library of Congress, that's like this big deal, you know, this like immortalization, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it just seems, I don't know, it's hard to take in, you know? But still, it seems like a pretty amazing accomplishment, I guess.
And like, no, go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, it's like it's just like this little book that I wrote a couple years ago, this story that I just came up with and wrote, like, to have that happen to it just seems like, really, my little book? You know, that kind of thing.
I mean, even if it's just your little book in your mind, it is going out to the world, and it'll be experienced by people you've never met. And for our listeners at home who aren't aware of what the U.S. Library of Congress is, it is essentially the core for libraries in the United States. If you're listed in the catalogs for the U.S. Library of Congress, that goes out to every library, both public as well as school system libraries, in the entirety of the U.S. So being listed there means you're listed as a book for every library across the entire nation. And so the book will be released on August 10th. And that will not be completely wrapping up the process for Drumfenjo, because there are obviously things that happen around the release as well. But what do you hope happens next?
I mean, I hope I just get to keep writing and you know, telling stories and, you know, sending them out into the world. Like this story, I mean, this book means a lot to me because, you know, I mean, and I guess maybe that's one of the things, if I really think about the Library of Congress thing and getting the book out into libraries, is that the most important thing to me about writing this book is that, to me, the most important thing is that the main character is, he's a disabled person of color. And it was really important to me because of the representation issue, that people who are disabled and people of color can see themselves as the hero of the story. Mm-hmm. So for people to be able to go to the library and find a book on the shelves where they can see themselves as the hero, it's a big deal. You know, that's not something that happens all the time. And I mean, to me, that's why it was such a big deal. And that's one thing I want to continue to do is tell stories like that. So, I mean, that's what I hope for the future, is just to keep telling stories like that.
So your hope to the future is continue this representation, continue this process, and turn yeah. your writing as well into potentially a career for yourself?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to keep, you know, publishing books and make a career out of it. That's definitely my goal. Yeah, in the long run. Yeah.
And so Drum Fun Jill will be released on August 10th, and for every book, there's that potential for it to become a bestseller. A very exciting thing. If Drum Fun Jill were to become a bestseller, what would you do?
I mean, that's always the hope. That's always the dream. I guess, that's one of those things, like, you hope that you could get your name out there and be like, oh, I'm a best-selling author, but it's something that you never expect. So it's kind of one of those things that, I mean, I want to get my hopes up and be like, oh, that's going to be me. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of like put that on the back burner as a, if it happens, that would be great, but I don't really want to plan for it. You know, we'll see what happens. That kind of thing. That's kind of where I've been. So I know there's been a lot of hype. I know there's been, you know, pre-sale orders, you know, and getting the Library of Congress order or number was a big deal too, because, you know, that does the library thing. So, but it's really been just I just want to wait and see what happens. And if it becomes a bestseller, then amazing news. I'm going to be so proud and feel really good about myself. You know?
Yeah, and if, let's push this dream even a little bit further, this concept of it becoming a bestseller, it becoming known. Mm-hmm. What about if Drum Fun Jill became a movie or a TV series? Do you have any ideas of the types of people or certain actors that you'd want to maybe cast for different roles?
Ultimately, to me, I would just want to make sure that the roles are fulfilled by people that fit the way I've written them. You know, I want to make sure that the main character, if the, you know, the actor that plays the main character needs to fit the way he's written. He's disabled, he's a person of color, so the actor would need to be disabled and a person of color. That's, you know, important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, those are the main criteria to me. I just want to make sure that that's what people see on the screen, is not somebody that's not those things, pretending to be those things.
This is a follow-up question. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, that's fine. Go ahead.
There's a follow-up question that if... I know I brought up the concept of a movie or TV series happening, but would you want Drum Fun Jill to become a movie or TV show if that were a possibility?
I think that would be amazing. I would love to see my ideas up on the screen, and I think that, I mean, you know, right now the creatures that I've created are all just in my head, but to see if somebody could, like, create those concepts and put them on a screen for people to actually be able to see would be pretty amazing. You know, I think it could be a pretty interesting movie. I think that the world I've created is different than a lot of what's out there now. And that was one of my aims, was not to do the same old thing. So I think it could be quite an interesting, you know, movie or TV series for people to see.
Mm-hmm. And so let's imagine this scenario where it becomes a movie or TV show. They're making the plans and everything. Mm-hmm. What level of creative control do you think that you'd want to have over that process? Would you want to leave it mostly to the producers and such, or do you want to have more of a say in the direction that things go?
I think I would definitely want to consult. I would want to have some input, because I would want to make sure that they didn't just like go haywire and change things out on me. I would, like I said, I want to make sure I was there to be like, no, you know, the characters need to be, you know, not changed. Yeah, you know, that we want to make sure that the characters are who they are written in the book. But, you know, I would want to make sure that we're not just like changing the creatures the way that I've written them and into something different, you know? Mm. So, I mean, obviously there are things that have to happen when they make movies to be like, well, we have budget concerns, so we can't do this or we can't do that. And I can certainly be like, of course, that kind of thing is a consideration, but I'd at least want to be consulted.
Okay. So you'd be looking more towards, if it captures your vision, you're happy with that, and you understand there might be some minor tweaks because it happens with the transition of media and budgets and everything.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
That makes sense. So let's imagine this scenario where it has become the movie or TV show. It's going to be coming out onto the big screen or onto TV via whatever medium it ends up going up on. Mm-hmm. Would you want to go to the premiere of the show or the movie? And if you did, do you think you'd have like a particular outfit or something that you'd want to wear special to that event?
I mean, I certainly would want to go. I mean, I think that would be pretty amazing. To be able to go to the premiere of my own creation, that would be pretty cool. I mean, and hopefully by then I would be, I mean, obviously that would be in the future at some point, so I should be in a fairly good, hopefully, physical condition. In that case, I guess I would probably just wear a nice dress.
Okay.
So, like.
Yeah, I know. It's a kind of hard concept to grasp, but at the same time, a very exciting one if it were to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Becoming this big thing and developing into that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, with becoming a bestseller or with, you know, having a TV show being released or something along those lines, there is, of course, tied to that, a certain level of fame.
Mm-hmm.
With fame, there's different types, right? There's the being super well-known, people knowing your face, being able to recognize you on the street, being like Stephen King, for example, very, very famous. And then there's different levels of fame where people might know your name if it was mentioned, but won't necessarily be able to recognize you on the street, and other types of, like, different levels, right? So if you had the ability to control your level of fame, if you were to become famous, what would you like? Would you like to be as famous as Stephen King, where everybody kind of recognizes you, and it sort of loses your anonymity, or would you prefer to be able to keep your anonymity, but still be known? What would be your ideal level of fame, so to speak?
I mean, optimally I'd be okay with people like just knowing my name, but I mean, Stephen King famous is kind of crazy famous. I mean, I'd like to be able to like go out and not have people mobbing me because they know my face. So, you know, if possible. I don't know, that's a crazy level of fame if you think about it. Like, you lose your privacy and your, you know, that kind of thing. And I mean, that would be a little over the top for me, that level of fame. I mean, that's a crazy level of fame, I think, and you really have to be pretty I mean, if you look at Stephen King, I mean, he's written like what, 50-60 books, and they're all crazy over the top bestsellers. How many of them made it into books? And he's insanely rich, and, you know, that's what he had to do to get that famous. So, I mean, not that I wouldn't want to be, like, that much of a bestseller, but I don't know if I want to be, like, hounded on the streets and not be able to show my face anywhere. So, yeah. It's like the famous name, but not necessarily a famous face.
Okay, that makes sense. That way you can be like, oh yeah, I'm Cynthia McDonald, and people say, oh, I love your work.
Yeah, that would be okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so with it becoming, there's becoming famous, and that's obviously something we can't fully control, but mm-hmm. would be a very exciting thing if it could happen, and we, of course, would love it if you're able to be a bestseller and we're able to, you know, be part of that process and be able to say, oh. Yeah, we helped this wonderful author achieve this goal and this dream that they had. Yeah. And it's something that we feel for all of our authors is we want them to be able to succeed. And we're looking forward to your success as well.
Yeah, I definitely feel that level of support.
I'm really happy that you say that. So thank you for Cynthia for talking with us today and being on the Writer's Triangle. That's all the questions that we have. And thank you to all of our beautiful moths for listening. Be sure to buy Drum Fangil when it comes out on August 10th. Cynthia, can you tell us where to find you, social media links and such?
I am on Twitter at McCindy72. I am on Facebook at facebook.com/ICYourHearts. Instagram.com/ICYourHearts.
Okay. And for those of you at home, be sure to visit cinnabarmoth.com to check out the transcripts. And we will also have an author page for Cynthia, where you'll be able to find links to all of her social media. Before we close out here, Cynthia, do you have any final comments or anything you'd like to say to the people at home, or anything that you'd like to ask me, for example?
Nope. I just really appreciate all the interest that everybody has in the book, and that's about it. And I thank you guys for all your support as well.
And we've appreciated working with you, and we've really enjoyed this process here at Cinnabar Moth. It's been a total pleasure, and we're looking forward to continue to work with you and as things go on. Thank you everyone at home for listening and joining us today on the Writer's Triangle. It has been a pleasure. Cynthia has also been a pleasure. Bye bye.